How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woo-hoo! Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser, intern Robert here with you on this Friday morning. And as we do every Friday morning at 7 o'clock, we welcome in our friend Jared Stillman to the program. Jared, good morning. How are you?
I'm fabulous. Robbie, I hear you're starting to consider to convert to the tribe.
I am.
The tribe of cleaning house for the Tennessee Titans. I am amazed. What's going on here?
They get a couple more press conferences like they got yesterday, and I don't know if I'm going to be able to stop myself. I legitimately, and again, we've been talking about this. I realize it's a press conference. It's not the most important thing in the world. But Colt Anderson and Nick Holtz yesterday, it was just unbelievably bad. I would love to know your thoughts on what you heard from those two yesterday.
You know, I love the whole, like, you know, hey, if we could do it again, we'd throw it from the one-yard line four times.
Good Lord. Like,
I understand.
But learn from it.
Yeah, but learn from it. I think I understand what he's saying. Like, I understand, you know, hey, we went in, our plan was this. We thought it was going to work. We felt like, you know, we had the matchups we wanted. We just didn't execute. Whatever. Don't say it. Like, don't say it. You know, it's like saying, like, hey, I want to be honest with my wife in everything that I do. And then she wears a blouse that makes her look like a cow. Don't say it. Like, just don't say it. And I think that, you know, I go back to Ran on some of this because I keep thinking.
Of course you do.
Well, but I keep thinking back to some of the things that Ran has said leading up to the season back when Ran used to talk. Some of the things that he said that have just blown up in his face. You know, like we keep talking about the, we checked every box from the number one starter to the furthest backup. And we had a hell of an offseason and things like that. But he, in his Bussing with the Boys sit down, he told LaJuan and Compton, he was like, you know, when we got down with Brian Callahan, he had a coaching depth chart. And it was like three deep. And it was like, well, if I can't get this guy, then I want to get this guy. And if I can't get this guy, then I want to get this guy. And you could see how detailed it was. And we got our first pick on every one. And it's like, and those are your first picks? Like, you guys, I mean, remember, Rand didn't go to the Senior Bowl because we got to get the coaching staff right. And these are the guys you picked? Like, it's like every week there's a new thing that Rand said this offseason that if you look back at it, it's like, this is the result? And so I got to tell you, like, I go back to, you know, Robbie starting to convert over to the house of cleaning the entire thing out. And it's like, that's my point. Is if Colt Anderson gets up there, we see his special teams, just the what we see on the field. You know, they should never be this bad. 31 other teams don't have the same problems the Titans have. That's an issue. Then he gets up there, and it kind of tracks with why the special teams unit looks so incompetent when the coach gets up there and starts talking, and what comes out of his mouth is equally as incompetent. And it leads me to sit there and think, so why did you hire this guy? Like, what about this guy where you like, no, this guy can coach. And that's why I'm like, you know, it's like every the top decision makers are bad, Brinker and Carthon, because they don't know football. They're the worst at the top. And then with each subsequent decision that keeps getting made, it's like, how could you hire this guy? Why'd you pick a guard with the 11th? You see what I'm saying? And I think that the coaches are starting to encapsulate the incompetence in the organization.
So, first of all, they don't know football. You know, Jared, I mean, you know, if you'd ever like to win Jared versus Joe again, you need to think about not saying dumb things like that. However, they certainly aren't doing a good job right now. I think we can all agree on that. The interesting thing about the press conferences, however important that is, I was saying this earlier, I agree. Anderson and Holtz, you wonder when they talk sometimes. And, you know, look, go back to Holtz early. I think one of his, maybe his first presser was like, whoa, man. You know, like, obviously very uncomfortable. You know, the question I have sometimes is, you can be a good coach and be bad at pressers, but sometimes it's like, okay, so how do you talk to a group of people? Like, how do you talk to a room full of players? You know what I mean? So there is some
carryover. You can be bad at press conferences. There is you can't be a bad communicator.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. But the interesting thing is I was saying this in the 6 o'clock hour, Jared, is, you know, I'd say that Callahan and Denard Wilson are amazing at press conferences. You know what I mean? Like, for whatever that's worth, like, I would think that those guys, I don't even more than think. I mean, I think they're pretty good communicating, pretty good in a room. I don't know what that all means. The overall product is bad, but it's just a crazy contrast to me of those two people on one side, two on the other, all the four people that have to talk every week.
I will give you Callahan, because Callahan has, you know, eaten the crap every week, it feels like, where he's got to get up there, be accountable. He has to get up there and explain why things didn't work. And as we've seen plenty of times, and it's not just Vrabel. I know people say, well, Vrabel, but Laviolette was like this. Malarkey was like this. I mean, specifically with you, Joe, when you wrote that column in the Tennessean about Malarkey and he got all mad at you.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, like, he was mad at me for a while.
I mean, these coaches, they, like, if things aren't going well, sometimes they just get all pissy about it. And he hasn't done that. Denard Wilson, I'm not so sold on when it comes to his press conferences, because a couple of weeks ago, there were two, you know, answers in particular that really just, I mean, it sent me up a wall. I don't know if you remember, but Kaharski asked about Simmons not sacking the quarterback.
Yeah.
And he was like, well, Simmons is our best player, and he's been our best player and continue to be our best player. And I think it was TD was like, but he's not getting any pressure on the quarterback. And then Denard was like, well, they're doing the best they can. And then he was asked about Arden Key not doing anything, and he was like, well, Arden's a great player, and when we start heating up, Arden will start heating up. And Paul said, he goes, isn't the job of those guys to get you to heat up? You know, like, so I think Denard kind of is full of bull crap too. He's just not come under the microscope, because the defense, which I think is an overrated defense, they never turn the quarterback over, they never get sacks, they never pressure the quarterback, they don't get key stops, they allow Jahmyr Gibbs to run up the left side for a touchdown. They, though, I think have kind of gotten a pass because the big screw ups are on offense, the quarterback, and special teams. But I'm not ready to say that Denard would be good when things aren't going his way. We just haven't seen it yet. He is, you know, he does got a good little rah-rah motivator in him, which I don't mind. But I'm not ready to say that Denard's great at the podium either.
Real quick, Jared, your beloved PFF, I believe, gave Jeff Simmons the highest pass rush grade of last week in the NFL. Just want you to know.
The entire NFL?
I think so. I believe that's what I saw. Someone check me if I'm wrong on that.
How many sacks and quarterback hits did they have?
I don't know what he had. I think his grade was like 92 something as a pass rush grade. Just saying, you think PFF's good, so I'm just saying.
I think right now the Titans have a serious problem with the fact that I think that between Simmons and Sweat, they have two sacks and two quarterback hits each. And I don't know if you guys watched the beginning of the Thursday night game. Robbie, I know you were at the Preds. Joe, I mean, I don't even know if you watch the NFL anymore with your new gig at The Athletic.
Wow, but, I do. Thank you. Thanks for
like,
asking.
The first drive of the game, Danico Autry gets in there and gets a sack on Aaron Rodgers. And I'm like, remember when the Titans used to get sacks? Remember when they used to get sacks? I mean, I remember that year that Haynesworth and Vandenbosch were having the season that they had. You know, Albert Haynesworth was an okay player. And then it became contract time, and he became a Hall of Fame player. Then he got the contract, and he was a worthless player. But when he was in that Hall of Fame two-year period, Albert Haynesworth had something like 30-something quarterback hits. And that year, those quarterbacks, and it didn't matter who it was, they would drop back, and they were scared to pass. And the Titans sent, like, the entire Pro Bowl to the secondary. Michael Griffin led the league in interceptions, and Michael Griffin stinks. And it was because Haynesworth had these quarterbacks scared to death. And now it's like these quarterbacks for the other team, no matter what, they just sit back there, pat the ball, pat the ball, pat the ball, pat the ball. You know, Simmons was bragging about the fact that he got Joe Flacco to throw the interception by pushing Quentin Nelson into his face. And I'm like, good, that's one for the whole season. That's all the pressure they're getting. So, hey, congratulations on the PFF pass rush grade. I'm sure that, you know, the Titans will use that in their excuse making, but I don't see a lot of pressure on the quarterback, guys.
Jared, last thing for you here. Preds are now 3-6-1. They get hammered by Edmonton last night. You know, it's still kind of early, but not that early. At 10 games now, it's time to get going here in November. Your concern level with what you're seeing from the local professional hockey team?
Well, the two line of demarcations early in the hockey season are the 10-game mark and the U.S. Thanksgiving mark. And if you're not in the playoffs by U.S. Thanksgiving, you have roughly about a 25% chance of making it. You know, if you're in, you're about 75% on a yearly basis. My expectation for this team was I thought they were going to start out pretty hot out the gates, and then they were going to be firmly in the playoffs for most of the year, and it was going to be about, you know, are they the second team or the third team? What I think's happened is not only has it been the exact opposite, but what I think's happened is there were a lot of guys that, you know, gave them solid contributions last year. And I think they were counting on the same contributions from those guys this year, whether it was McCarron or Smith or Novak or all these guys, Jankowski, that Trotz re-signed in the middle of last year, kind of feeling like, hey, this is the grit and this is the determination we need from some of these guys. And I think there's a chance that they all might stink. And right now, I think clearly they've got to get Stamkos, you know, going. They got to get him heating up, you know, like Denard Wilson would say. But
he had another crossbar last night, by the way, which is like his ninth one this year.
I'm not worried about Stamkos. Like, and I'm not worried about Marchessault. You know, the way he won the game last Saturday night, you know, he's still got it. I'm not worried about that. I'm worried about, like, how much more Michael McCarron's going to be out there on the ice. Because didn't he get benched last night?
He did.
I mean, like, hey, clearly Brunette's kind of starting to have enough with it. I mean, I think that I look down at Milwaukee right now, and I know that there are some young guys there that they've really, really liked. Svechkov got hurt in training camp, and I know Trotz likes him. I wonder if a veteran guy like Hinostroza, who, you know, was Chicago for a couple of years and kind of bounced around the league, he's kind of a journeyman Scarbini, but he's a journeyman Scarbini with NHL experience. I wonder if it's time to put those guys in there and maybe give up on hoping that McCarron can get back to the way he played last year. Because it's one thing to adjust with Marchessault and Stamkos and Shea and the power play coming together. It's a completely different thing when your fourth line guys are not just not helping you, but they're getting you beat. And I think that's a big problem. I can deal with the growing pains of Stamkos and Marchessault knowing that they'll figure it out. I can't deal with just bad mistakes by McCarron and Cole Smith every night.
Yep, going to be really interesting to see how they handle that. Jared, thank you, sir. I'll be listening at 2 o'clock.
Boys, take care, Robbie. Clean house.
I feel like I'm joining the dark
team
side.
Clean house.
See you guys.
See you, Jared. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Got a lot to react to there on the Titans front. We'll do more of that coming next. A lot of your thoughts to get to as well on our text line and on the YouTube chat as well. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Appreciate Jared Stillman for being with us in the last segment. We'll have TD coming up at 8:30 today, normally at 8 o'clock, pushing some things back. TD at 8:30, Pigskin Pick'em coming up at 8 o'clock, so looking forward to that. Busy weekend of football this weekend. Vols taking on Kentucky, Vandy Auburn, the Titans and the Patriots, which, by the way, Joe, real quick aside on that, I saw like the television map for Titans Patriots, and Fox is doing like, I mean, they're bending over backwards to show it to the least amount of people as possible in the country. It's like, here's this little dot in Massachusetts / the New England area. Here's this little dot in Tennessee. Yeah, it's like, here, you can watch this in Rutherford County, and that's it. And like nowhere else in America gets it. It's pretty funny.
You can watch this at the Buc-ee's in Crossville.
Yeah.
If you bring your rabbit ears.
Exactly. It's like, we would really like for no one to see this game, but it's pretty fun. Take your thoughts.
It's a beaut.
615-737-1025. Cam on the text line. Not going to lie, as much as I enjoy Jared versus Joe, I think I appreciate Joe and Jared being decent to one another. I love both shows, and this way I don't feel like I have to love one child more than the other. This is from Cam on the text line. Very decent segment between you two last time out.
Cam, what the hell is wrong with you? You need to like us way more than his terrible show. Come on.
Wow.
I'm just kidding. Yeah, I don't know.
Run.
The funny thing is this week on Jared versus Joe, we actually agreed on like everything, which actually, you know, I mean, that's not what Caroline's trying to do, right? With the questions. But then but Jared lost, you know, the ball didn't bounce his way. Ball didn't bounce his way.
Tough one.
Because of this dumb, you know, again, We all agree things aren't going well, but he has to go with Ran and Chad don't know football. I'd be a better GM, you know, and things like that. And, of course, a lot of people are like, oh, well, now this has gotten stupid.
Yeah, we didn't even bring up his Twitter poll where 49% of the listening audience said he'd be a better GM than Brinker and Carthon.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's funny. You know, that's a funny Twitter poll and stuff like that. But, like, in all seriousness, you know, Ran and Brinker, like, they played college football, and then they played pro football.
Sure.
And then they scouted. They've spent their entire lives, like, doing this.
Right.
Whereas, like, we didn't. So, like, you got to still acknowledge that, like, people can, quote, know football and not do it well, not make good choices. I mean, why can't we talk about it like that? But
I mean,
but thanks, Cam.
This is now the
next week I'm going to scream at Jared. Okay,
this is now the second time that I'm going to do this today, which is probably a record on our show. But I mean, Derek Dooley, I brought him up now twice today. I'm pretty sure Derek Dooley knows football. It just did not go well for him as head football coach at the University of Tennessee. I think I've reached my Derek Dooley quota for probably the year.
Yeah, that's a lot of Derek Dooley. We've actually brought him up a few times, actually.
We have. I mean,
he'll never. We want to get into. He'll always be part of it.
Talk about him coaching from the stool, or bring up Rommel in the press conference. Shower etiquette. There's a lot of things we can get into.
Yep, the shower. Flip flops or whatever. Yeah,
good stuff.
Yeah,
let's go back to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Ed in Jersey. Ed, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Good morning, gentlemen. Joe, speedy recovery. I've had 2 meniscus surgeries, so you'll get over
it.
So
thank you.
You'll be all right.
Sorry.
And both doing home repairs, so don't you know, be too hard on yourself walking up the stairs. I mean, so anyway, my biggest problem with preaching patience now from Callahan isn't that the exact opposite of what they did the whole offseason? I mean, to me, it rings hollow a bit because I don't mind the money they spend. But, you know, they took a swing and a miss. They tried to use the money. They went out and being aggressive. They got Levis on a rookie deal, and they missed. Okay, admit that. And now tell us you need to be patient. To me, it rings a little hollow because it was a big pivot from the offseason plan till now. And to preach this patience thing, I don't know. I'm not buying totally into it, and that's my biggest problem.
Yeah, really interesting point. Thanks for the call, Ed. Appreciate it. I mean, we've heard a lot of that. You know, similar kind of thoughts there from Titans fans the last few weeks here. And look, you know, they did spend a lot of money this offseason. Now, they also had a lot of money to spend. So, like, how many NFL teams have a lot of money to spend and then just don't do it in the offseason?
And they had a lot of holes to fill.
They had a lot of holes to fill
to try to get to, you know, competitive.
But there's one thing I will say. Like, if they're going to sit here and try to act like this is like some rebuild, they never came close to saying anything like that. So for them to, if they started to try to do that now, yeah, no thanks. I'm not buying that.
Yeah, I agree. And look, I don't believe in rebuilds in the NFL. I think that basically, I mean, I think that you can probably have a couple years, you know, where you bottom out, but you again, in this league, you should be able to, with a competent offseason, you should be able to go from terrible to bottom of the league to the middle of the league. It happens all the time. It should happen fast. And so the question there with, like, what Ed brings up is sort of like, you're right, for sure. They weren't like saying, guys, this could be hard this year.
Right.
You know, were they saying they were going to be good? Were they, you know, I don't know about that. I do think they probably here and there, you know, the check every box thing from Rand was one of those things where, okay, well, if you checked every box, that sounds pretty good, right?
Yeah.
Some things like that. I don't know that they were out there, you know, proclaiming that they're going to win the AFC South, but certainly, like, even though I think outside expectations were that this would be a losing team, they probably could have done a better job of tampering down the expectations a bit.
Well, and again, we have learned the last 2 weeks that the problems with this football team right now run much deeper than Will Levis. Having said that, Will Levis has been a problem, and they clearly anticipated way better play from him than they've gotten to this point, and they were wrong about that.
Exactly. Right. I mean, look, again, it's game one. He gave him the game, you know? So It's not all on him. A lot of the early stuff is on him. And now, you know, we'll see when he comes back. But if, in terms of, you know, this coaching staff and, you know, Jared's trying to get you on team clean house and everything like that, man, they need to win Sunday. They need to win Sunday in a game that, according to William from Madison, will not be on in Chattanooga or Memphis.
I'm telling you, that heat map for the TV coverage.
But they need to win.
Is very limited. Very limited map for the TV coverage between the Titans and the Patriots coming up on Sunday. Joe Rexroad has a stat that I think you're going to find very interesting. We'll get into that coming up next. Robbie and Rexroad, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Tune in to 93.3 FM Totally Hits Nashville tomorrow for MTSU football. Blue Raiders taking on UTEP on the road. Pregame starts at 1 o'clock, kickoff at 2:30. MTSU football coverage on 93.3 FM Totally Hits Nashville is presented by Sloan's Motorcycle ATV. Also, check out this week's Nashville's Best Deal. It's Teddy's Tavern. Teddy's Tavern, your go-to spot for great food, cold drinks, and live music in the heart of downtown. Get half off a $100 gift card now at Teddy's Tavern at thegamenashville.com/deals while supplies last. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road. We'll have the Rob Rant coming up here in a few minutes. We'll have Pigskin Pick'em at 8 o'clock. Teron Davenport will be with us at 8:30. Taking your thoughts in the meantime, 615-737-1025. Joe, you have a stat, and every time Joe Rex Road has a stat, a little part of me gets fired up. I'm excited to hear this one.
Well, yeah, I mean, I didn't do anything here. This is a credit to my coworker, Larry Holder, who finds like cool stats every week through True Media. And this one's about the Lions, but it was from Pro Football Reference, and it was like, oh, wow. I just looked at the list, and I was like, you know, this would be a good thing to remind people. And I don't know why I want to bring this up again, but it's just – as time goes on, this is one of those things that I'm not going to let go. And for those of you who are on the wrong side of this argument, I don't think I'm going to let up on you. So anyway, first of all, Jared Goff right now is on an incredible run. He is on a run of, you know, he has the 4-game passer rating right now of, so essentially I'm doing a great job of explaining this. You know, there's a historical marker here of 4 games in a row with a 140 or better passer rating. Okay. Which is for people. Now the perfect passer rating is
158.3.
Right. Yeah. So Jared Goff in this 4-game span is number one in NFL history with a 155 rating in the last 4 games. Okay. Woo! So almost perfect over 4 games. So who else on the list here? You got Kurt Warner back in that 99 season with the Rams, which of course ended with, you know, the beating the Titans in a great Super Bowl. But obviously people remember that was the greatest show on turf. Trent Green gets hurt. Kurt Warner comes off the, you know, stocking shelves in Iowa and is just insane. You got Russ in 2015. So that's a 147.4 for Warner, a 145.9 for Russ. You got Goff, by the way, all in a different stretch this year at 144.8. Okay. So that's pretty wild. You also, by the way, have Nick Foles in 2013. Okay, sure. So there's a rando entrance, a guy who did win the Super Bowl, by the way,
about to say,
with the Eagles, Spartan legend Nick Foles. And then number six, all-time 4-game stretch in NFL history, quarterback rating, Ryan Tannehill, from November 10th, 2019 to December 8th, 2019. That's a 144.2, which actually ties him with Foles and ties him with a different stretch of 99 for Kurt Warner. So just, first of all, it's pretty amazing, like, what Goff is doing as he heads into a big one with your Packers. So, you know, sometimes things like this,
need people to be praying for Jordan Love's groin.
Yeah, is he going to play, by the way?
I don't know.
Yeah.
But if not, Malik's got it. It's all good.
That is true. But, you know, Goff is just on an incredible tear right now. The Titans helped that. They didn't make him throw for any yards. He just threw touchdown passes and got to sit down. But it's just from the Titans' perspective, man, I just, you know, I don't know why it bothers me so much, but like the Titans, if they found someone who gave them the quarterback play that Tannehill did in 2019 and 2020, like they would give them the world. They would give them the absolute. If Will Levis got 2/3 of the way to that, 60% of the way to that, he'd get the freaking contract. And I wish people would understand that, you know. And of course, it was Derrick Henry at his peak too, and that makes it way easier on a quarterback. And Tannehill's a good play action quarterback, and this team was a play action monster with Arthur Smith at OC. A lot of things that were really good. The offensive line was great, all that stuff. But that quarterback play, that's what you're looking for. That's a standard to try to reach. And they are so far from that now.
Yep.
And we talk about all these other things, and it does still kind of come back to that, right? And maybe we'll kind of be reminded of that if and when Levis returns to the field. Maybe he'll turn it around. But if you play, you know, if you play quarterback at a low level, you know, and you're losing a bunch of close games, I mean, that's what it's all about, right? Like, you have to start there on the list of issues.
Yep, I think it's a really good point. Let's go back to our 102.5 The Game phone line. Welcome in Adam in Portland. Adam, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, bud. Yeah, I don't know if you guys have ever seen this show, The Good Place. Pretty funny, like, for the most part. They got a Jacksonville Jaguars fan that's a character in there, and, like, he's an unnecessarily optimistic Jaguars fan. And then at the point of the time, that's when the Jaguars had just gotten Foles as quarterback, and they're like, we got a Super Bowl champion. Like, they're super excited. Anyway, that's how I feel with the Titans, like, right now. I feel like I'm still unnecessarily optimistic. But here's my thing. Like, I feel like if we are in full tank mode, and this is my question to you to hit the weekend, if we are in full tank mode, who's the better quarterback to tank for us, man? Like, I feel like Levis could have possibly learned something by now, so it might just be best to ride it out with Mason, especially if Levis has upside. But then Levis gives us more opportunity to do something wildly outrageous, so I almost want to go back to Levis. So if I'm in full tank mode and that, like, all the cards are on the table and I have to lose the game, I don't know who I'm going to pick. I was going to let you guys pick it.
Yeah, thanks for the call. I mean, look, it doesn't really matter to me who starts at quarterback the rest of the way, Joe. I don't think too many more wins are on the schedule for the Titans. You know, maybe one of those is this Sunday. Like, the Patriots are bad. Now, they came out last week and beat the Jets. Jets beat the Texans last night, so we'll see.
It did.
What all that looks like. But, like, you know, Levis, he'll have to have learned a lot the last couple of weeks, right? Like, until I see Levis go to the football field in a game setting and consistently be able to be accurate with the football and make good decisions, like, I've reached the point with him where I'll just believe it when I see it, right? Like, I don't know how you couldn't operate that way. Like, we've talked about the Atlanta game last year and the fourth quarter in Miami, how that is an outlier for Will Levis. You know, have these 2 weeks that he's not played, could that end up being a good thing for him in the long run? Maybe. It may be. Like, maybe there's a little bit of a reset that went on. You know, maybe you get a chance to heal up and build up some of your confidence the last couple weeks. I don't know. I'm just saying, I don't have high expectations for either quarterback, regardless of who it is the rest of the way. There ain't a whole lot of wins left on that schedule.
Right, and that's why, to me, like, every single snap that Will Levis is healthy enough to take should go to Will Levis. And you continue, no matter what we all think or even what they think right now in the building, you continue with the primary purpose of this season. You know, we've talked some today, Robbie, about the expectations, not just today. I mean, there's a lot of this team's bad. They didn't say they were going to be bad. People are mad, and I understand that. But it's been pretty clearly stated, certainly by us, but even like when Callahan has been asked about it, that this season is number one about finding a quarterback, right? Yep. We all, you know, again, you're gonna have to scour the internet for people who believe that it's gonna end up being Will Levis. But I would also say crazier things have happened than that guy figuring it out and putting everything together. I don't expect it. It's hard to be optimistic about it right now, but I'm certainly giving him the opportunity. If I'm the Titans, I'm giving him every possible opportunity.
Well, and I'm interested to see, number one, can he go Sunday? I mean, I hope that he's able to get out. I mean, look, we've seen it. I'm speaking for myself here. I've seen enough Mason Rudolph. You know, he can be a semi-decent backup quarterback in the NFL.
But top 11.
We've seen it the last couple weeks, right? Like, Mason Rudolph is not like the magic elixir to come in and fix this offense. They've been just as bad from a production standpoint with Mason Rudolph in there. They're scoring like 14 points a game. Like, it's just not very good. So I've seen enough of that. I'm interested to see if Levis goes, how does he play this week? But the bottom line is, like, right now, it's hard. You'll be hard-pressed to have anybody around here, I think, legitimately believe that the Titans aren't going to be one of those teams that finishes somewhere in the top five of the draft order, right? Like they just, there's not a whole lot of wins left on the schedule. There's not.
No. Now the Jags are out here giving up Cam Robinson, sending him to the Vikings. The NFC North is just like, give us all the good players. Those games could be interesting for sure. Both of those teams look like one of them looks like they're definitely headed for a coach firing, along with trying to angle for the top of the draft, while the other one here, we'll see. But no, there are not many to be found right now, looking at it on paper.
Tune in to 94.9 The Fan tomorrow at 2:30 for our college football game of the week. Florida taking on Georgia, presented by Twin Peaks Restaurants. Take your tailgate to Twin Peaks, home of 29-degree drafts and wall-to-wall sports. Looking forward to that coming up tomorrow. We'll have the Rob Rant coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Don't make me angry.
Sometimes you have to tell someone to pound sand.
You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
This is the Rob Rant.
Now
on Robbie and Rex Road.
Bringing it out is Ekholm down the right wing, Dreisaitl. Dreisaitl cutting to the net, off the goal, posted in. Leon Dreisaitl makes it 4-1.
Well, I don't think you have to have answers, but I think you have to have desperation and determination. And I can't say that we've had bad. I think we think it'll be okay and we're fine and it's not a big deal and we're good and, all that kind of stuff. And I don't think we've been determined enough that we can even give chemistry a chance right now.
It is that time of the day, time for the Rob Rant here on Robbie and Rex Road. You can check it out every morning on the program, either the Rex Rant or the Rob Rant. Joe, that was part of Andrew Brunette's press conference last night where he's talking about he just can't really say that this team has had enough determination or desperation. And basically he feels like the approach has been, we'll figure it out. We'll be fine. We'll get to it at some point. Roman Yossi even talked after the game last night about how they weren't really ready to play. And that's the kind of stuff that if I'm a fan, just rubs all over me if I'm a Predators fan. I can live with being not on the same page, not being in sync yet offensively, not totally have the system down. Like those are things that even 10 games into a season, you'd like to see improved by now. But I can still live with that. Like, at some point in an 82-game season, you would think that you figure that out and that the talent that this team undoubtedly has starts to take over. But when you start talking about, like, not being determined enough and not, having the desperation level and not being ready to play against the Edmonton freaking Oilers, who won the Western Conference Championship last year, even if they don't have Connor McDavid, they have Leon Dreisaitl, who I don't think this is even hyperbole, me saying this, Joe. I don't know that I've ever seen another player in sports dominate a team like he dominates the Predators. Like, it's unbelievable what the numbers that he puts up against the Predators. And he did it again last night. 2 goals, 1 assist, 3 points. So I think he's got like 41 points in his last 16 games against the Predators. It's unreal what he does to them. So for you to be coming out last night and talking about lack of determination and lack of desperation and not being ready to play. I mean, the first shift of the game was awful from the Predators last night. They scored 37 seconds in. And you had like 2 or 3 chances to get the puck out of the zone. You didn't do it. And you just got shelled from start to finish last night. That's the part of this that would just really get on me if I'm a Predators fan. Is you better be ready to play. All that other stuff, like execution, maybe it's not there. But you need to be ready to play, and you need to be – there's a certain determination level that you have to have. And there's one stat that Brunette keeps bringing up that I think is directly correlated to that. The Predators are generating a lot of shots. Heading into the game last night, I think they had the most shots on goal per game in the league. So, like, obviously that's good. But I think they were either at the bottom or near the bottom in, like, high-danger chances created. Get into the middle of the ice. And that, to me, with the talent level this team has, screams unwillingness. Unwillingness to go there. And that is not acceptable. There's too many guys on this team that have done a lot of winning, that have scored a lot of goals, that know the way that you have to play to win in the National Hockey League for that to be the case, for you to be totally absent in the middle of the ice. And they got a couple of looks last night, but not enough towards the middle of the ice. Josi talked about that too. Yeah, generated a lot of zone time. Most of it was on the outside. And right now, for whatever reason, there is just not either an ability or a willingness from this team to get to the middle of the ice. And that's happening too much. Like, it happened at times last year, and then they finally snapped out of it. I can live with lack of execution. If I have a fan watching this, the last thing I want to hear when you're 3-5-1 on the season heading into the game last night is that you guys weren't ready to play. Get ready to play. That's not asking too much.
Yeah, you know, I first of all, I do think sometimes people just throw that out there, right? I mean, you play poorly, get your butt kicked, and the weren't ready to play thing gets thrown out there. I think it's interesting because, of course, you had a rant not too long ago about the effort thing, right?
Yeah.
Like, and I saw Alex Doherty last night at some point in this game, you know, or after the game, quote tweet someone who's like, they don't care, they're not trying, you know. And he's like, I don't think that's it, but there is. It's like, yeah, there is a certain level of effort that you have to have, like, which is probably beyond what any of us could conceive of, right? Like, you know, trying to go out there, you just get killed if you try to compete in this at this level. But then there's like the desperation or the willingness to do more extra, yeah, right? That goes beyond that baseline. That is how you win in the NHL. So is it possible that this, are we going to, you know, we've talked about the number two center with this team, Robbie, and will continue to probably until it's addressed. But I do, you know, I think back to the 2018-19 season where it was so much about they need someone who can post up in front of the net, and yep, they don't have anybody who's really built for that. I mean, who right now should be going to the hard areas who isn't?
Well, I think O'Reilly can get there more than he is. You know, he's not doing a bad job at that, but I think he can get there more than he is. I think Forsberg can get there a little bit more than he is. But like Stamkos and Marchessault, like Stamkos has scored almost 600 goals. They haven't all been one-timers from the left circle, right?
Right.
Like, you know, every now and then he scores, you know, kind of a mucky goal. I think he can do a better job of that. Hey, look, I'm not trying to make excuses for him, but right now the luck for him is just not good. I mean, he had another crossbar last night. It's like, good Lord, are any of these going to start to go in? And I talked about it Monday, right? Like he's hit crossbars. He's hit the knob of the goalie's stick twice, which is still unbelievable to me, but that's happened in the first 10 games. So some of it with him, I do think is luck, and you know, his shooting percentage right now is like 3% or whatever it is. You know, for a guy that shoots the puck that well, that's going to turn around at some point. But like Novak, a lot of it's on the perimeter. Evangelista, I don't know if Evangelista's approached the net all year. Like his numbers, like point production, aren't terrible, but you got to find a way to get to the net. Like, and then there's that fourth line, right? Again, the fourth line did not light the world on fire offensively last year, but they contributed every now and then. And right now, like, not only are they not contributing, but they're just getting killed out there. Like, it's a disaster when they're on the ice in terms of the goals against that they're giving up 5-on-5. Like, Josi right now. Josi doesn't have a goal. Josi, you know, he's a defenseman, so you don't think about him going to the middle, but he's not getting a lot of great looks either. Like, Yossi's just not getting a lot of great looks. So, again, like, I'm with Alex, and I don't think that this is some, like, huge effort problem. Sometimes I think it's the opposite, where I think you want to get yourself out of it so bad that you forget like the things you have to do to get there, right? Like you're just shooting from everywhere. Like you want to shoot and see if you can get a puck on net, and all of a sudden you do it and no one's around the front of the net and you're not doing things in your system that you're supposed to do to generate some zone time, get some cycling in there. It's just the whole thing looks like a mess right now. And the thing is, like, I thought last week, Joe, against Boston, they started to do some of those things, and it was like, okay, there it is. And basically since then, you know, they had to come back against Chicago. Wasn't a great game that they played. They had to come back against Columbus. Was not an overly great game that they played. Tampa, they got shelled in the first period, and then they started to get there. Like, they're just – they are so out of sync right now that very rarely are they playing long stretches of hockey that look good.
I'm a little surprised, you know, on the text line today about how many people are talking coaching staff. Not that, I mean, everybody should be, you know, when you play this poorly, obviously you start at the top, but yeah. I'm a little bit surprised by that.
They're not firing Andrew Burnett, guys. Like, it's
yeah,
first off, I mean, look at the history of this organization. They have, well, now four coaches in history. Also, I understand that Barry Trotz is now in charge of that. I mean, the guy was just nominated for the Jack Adams last year. I don't think that they've all of a sudden forgotten how to coach. And Barry Trotz is going to be – like, Barry Trotz talked about this a couple weeks ago. Like, he's going to be patient. He's going to be patient with Andrew Burnett. So, I get it. Like, I get the frustration. I get – you look at the talent level and you're like, my goodness, how have they not figured this out quicker than they have? And, look, I will say this about Burnett. He's got to figure out how to get them off to better starts. They were 5-10 last year. Now they're 3-6-1. The starts have been bad. So, he's got to figure that out as they move forward here. But I do not think that they're close to making a move at coach. That's just, I mean, that's just me.
I wouldn't even think that right now. But, you know, based on last year, I would expect them to figure it out. But you just can't count on, like, the tear that they had to go on last year, that they did go on, was amazing. But, like, yeah, you don't want that to be sort of like the pattern. You know, and it shouldn't be when you have the kind of carryover they had, then you just add talented veterans, you would have thought a much better start.
Yep, we'll have Pigskin Pick'em coming up next. TD coming up at 8:30. All that ahead. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.